I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Hey, that's for paying customers.
Oh, he's a fan. He's a paying customer. All right. So, Hillary Solomon, since you're first.
Okay.
Your timing is impeccable.
Wow. I have plans for everybody. So, I'm Hillary Solomon with the Portland Edowee Natural Resources Conservation District. Here to talk about the project on the proposed project on the town park. So this is a full set of plans that you pass around, and then I got first kind of the main piece one just in case. But so these are sets of kind of the interior pages that have the most information. We probably will let Joe maybe let Joe start with sort of a review of there were questions last time that were posed to us and things we were supposed to explore. And then Joe can maybe review the sort of final project, how it turned out in the design. And then we can maybe move ahead with sort of the questions after that. Does that sound good?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, perfect.
Okay. I guess one important question is it mostly the same people in the room as it was last time, or do I need to kind of start at the beginning for some people?
We're all the same.
All right, great. Good for you guys. We had a list of questions from the meeting that I think was in July that came from the select board, and there were some very good questions, and we followed up on all of those and, updated to do the final plan set. So the biggest developments since the last meeting was that we brought out Tyler Button. It's Button Underground Locating Services. And he did, a full utility overview, because we did get the mapping from the town of the utilities, and that was helpful for the sewer, but it didn't have all the water line data that we needed. And so Button was able to come out using different, the sensors that clamp onto the water lines and the ground penetrating radar. And he was able to accurately map out all utilities and, most importantly, get the depth to the utilities. And so one big question was, we knew there was a water line that was going to be really close to the storm drain that's at the bottom of Carnarvon. And he was able to determine that water line actually passes behind it. It's on the north side. And so it's not at all in our way, because to refresh the storm drain that's right at the bottom of Carnarvon, we want to tie into that and then bring the water that we want to treat across the road into the green. And so he was able to determine that, the only utilities we cross are the sewer, but the sewer is plenty deep. I think it's 8.5 feet down there, and we're only going to be like 4 feet down, so it's plenty deep. And then we also will be running parallel to the communication line that starts at the southwest corner of Carnarvon and goes straight across the road. We'll be kind of paralleling that and then crossing it once we're already in the green, and that's actually shallow enough that we'll go under it. So all good news on the utilities. And then the other big piece was, I forget the name of the gentleman on the select board who raised a question about, groundwater mounding and what direction the runoff would go because of the seeps over like by the dollar store. And so I went out and did survey and, kind of mapped out where the water table was oozing out of the hills, out of the slope, both to the east and the west. And we were able to kind of map out the water table there. And then we brought in Sierra Environmental Drilling, and they came out and did geoprobe samples where he pushed down a hollow tube and pulled up soil cores and was able to really definitively map out where the water table is. And he's actually the same person. I guess they had to do a geoprobe over near the fire station a few years ago because there was like a oil tank leak or something. So he also had that data too. And so kind of with those three data points, two over in the green and then one at the fire station, we now have a much better understanding of where the water table is. And you know, interestingly enough, the water table, so when we did the original test pits that the town dug for us, we stopped at right about 12, 13 feet, and then we augured down another foot or two. And it turns out that they're right below that, like a foot below where we dug the hole is where the water table is. And that's not a problem for our design, but it is really good to know where it is and be able to show it on the plans. And then the one other big update was that, you know, through a bunch of conversations with DEC, we determined that the amount of water quality benefit and the amount of phosphorus credits that kind of Hillary's group can take for this project, you get most of the credits. I think it's like about 80 to 90% of the available credits if you can treat at least half of the normal rainstorm, so half of the 1-inch rainstorm. And so with that information, we were able to significantly reduce the footprint and the depth of the proposed treatment system. And that was another big concern the select board had, is because we were showing it, the original design that we presented in July, pretty much maxed out the northwest corner of the green. And now it is not quite half of the footprint, but I think it's considerably less footprint, and it's only half of the depth that it was before. So I believe the current footprint is about 40 by 80 and 3 feet deep of the R tanks, which are basically just fancy milk crates. And then, you know, if you look in the plan sheets, you know, there's a bunch of information. There is a detail on there that sort of shows, it has a table that kind of shows what the different layers are. And the table's not to scale. It's on sheet DT2. That drawing is not to scale, but then there's a table with it that shows what the thickness of each layer is. And so, you know, we're proposing to have the milk crates be roughly 4.5 feet below grade. You know, so that'll be soil, native soil put back on top of it. And then there will be a layer of stone, the milk crates, and then another layer of stone. Beyond that, nothing else really changed from what we presented before. So I guess from my standpoint, from Hillary's standpoint, you know, all the questions that we got from the select board led to design updates that are significantly cheaper, significantly less disturbance, while maintaining almost all of the maximum available water quality benefit. And we're clear of utilities, and also we now have, you know, more space from the bottom of the practice to the water table. And then, oh, and one thing I forgot to mention earlier, sorry, we did find that the water table is tipped a little bit, and it's tipped to suggest that it's draining to the south southwest, so not to the east. And, you know, we would need a lot more sampling to know exactly where it's going, but it's not draining east. There's a slope of the water table, and it's going west, and it's pretty deep. So it's definitely way below the basements of any of the houses in the church over to the west. And then where it bleeds out on the steep slope behind all those houses is like 20 feet down. So...
Helper.
I know that was a lot of information. I guess, do we want to do some questions? Do you want me to keep talking? It's weird. It's weird not seeing people. So hopefully you're all giving thumbs up.
Yeah, Joe, Glenn Travers, just a question. I thought we had last time was concern that we, from time to time, we bring a piece of heavy equipment in that might, removing snow, might run over the top of it. Did we... felt comfortable that wouldn't cause any damage if we did that?
So it is, you know, these are load rated to take heavy loads, and, you know, like, they are load rated for, like, basically what the axle load is of a fire truck. You know, like, you wouldn't want to bring a full pump truck out there, but you probably would sink a full pump truck on the existing grass if you took that out there now anyways. So, you know, like, it would be ideal to not drive a bucket loader that's moving piles of snow over this. You're fine to put snow on top of it, but it would, you know, it is load rated for it, but it would be ideal to not unnecessarily put heavy load on top of it.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
And then, you know, all the areas around it, like where the pipe run is, that's all, you know, like there's no, you can drive over that just like you would a normal culvert. And actually, one other thing to mention, when we were talking more to Ferguson, who are they're the manufacturers of the chamber system, they did want us to add another small manhole right at the entrance into the system. So you can basically put like a manifold on that. So it sends the water, instead of just sending the water in with a single pipe, it splits it into three different pipes, and that just helps distribute the flow better. And it, so, but that, you know, that doesn't actually have to be like a 4 foot manhole structure. That can be as simple as there's a company that makes basically just like a modified, I think it's a 20 inch HDPE pipe that would just have a flat green cover over it. Or it could be a concrete manhole structure with a cast iron lid, but you know, there would be one additional structure. And then there would still be a couple inspection ports that, you know, would be flush with the ground within the chamber system. But other than that, nothing's changed. You know, there will be one manhole cover close to the path for the swirl separator, and then another smaller cover, and then a few inspection ports. But everything will be down flush, mowable, and, you know, they can all be green if you want them to be green, whatever it is that makes them the least impact.
Work reach deep enough for that collection pipe?
Sorry, say that again?
The 4 foot depth for the main collection pipe is deep enough.
Yep. Yeah, so the pipe that'll cross the road is, yeah, I think about 4.5 feet down. And you know, this is absolutely up to the contractor, but it's only an 8 inch pipe, I believe. Yeah, it's only an 8 inch pipe. And on similar projects, actually ones that are more complicated than this, it was cost effective to do directional boring instead of trenching. So, you know, like that, depending on what contractor selected to do it and whether or not they're comfortable doing directional boring, that is certainly an option. And if it is directional boring, then there could be minimal impact to traffic. You know, they would have to dig a hole right alongside the catch basin, but they could maintain all of the pavement and, you know, maybe have a brief time when you couldn't turn left out of Carnarvon, but that's about it. So that's an option. Or we talked with Joe about, you know, like the merits of if they did want to trench and lay the pipe, whether you would close the road and reroute everyone down the west side of the green, but then you have some complications with trucks, or if you would dig half of it and, you know, only allow, you know, have a flagger to allow traffic through one way at a time through the other half and then flip-flop. But I think directional boring would also be a really good option that would minimize disturbance. It costs a little more, but it would very much minimize disturbance to traffic.
Yeah, will that road be paved, newly paved by then?
Well, if they're going up Main Street, they're not coming this way.
Oh, they're going forward?
It's not, but they did this, what, 2 years ago?
They did 22A. Okay, all right.
Well, I can let you guys ask questions, and also I can kind of give you potential timeline. It's a little hard to. So we do have funds that would pay for this. The funds that you were helping us with, the Basin Water Quality Council. Our next round is in March, so if the select board approved the project, we would work this month to just make sure the town felt comfortable with the agreement that would be signed with the Regional Planning Commission. It's with the CLIS, so it's really with the Regional Planning Commission, and we're the partner on it. The language is mostly about just making sure that people can have access to verify that it's working and help maintain it. And then the contract length will just be related to the sort of lifetime of the practice. But they don't tend to be longer than 10 to 15 years, and then they would get renewed. The maintenance fees at this point, this is all state funding, so we aren't as worried about sort of things happening in the federal government right now. And it's property transfer tax, it's hotel tax, it's bottle cap returns. It's because Lake Champlain brings in so much tourism, the funding for these projects, which are meant to keep Lake Champlain clean, are related to the to that tourism, which I always thought was a nice way to have the sort of environmental work that brought tourists also be supported by the fees that the tourists pay. So that funding is relatively stable. The maintenance should be included. We might even, this is all very new. This program's only about 2 years old. But right now people are applying to, like, we might be able to actually pay the town to do maintenance on the project, or we could hire it out, but we'll, you know, we can work through that afterward. But right now the maintenance would be included because of the fact that this funding source funds the project. First we would go in March. Well, first we would just make sure the town's good with the contract language. We would submit, we need to do a review by the Vermont Historic Preservation Department. They just want to make sure that we wouldn't be disturbing any sort of culturally significant area. We would go get to the application in March. If everything works out and we get the VDHP, the historic preservation folks, sort of past site, then we would hope to put it out to bid and potentially install it this summer. That would be great. But of course, sometimes it takes a while for the cultural review to pass. I think all the other, it doesn't really need permitting because it's in a developed area and it's not by a stream or a wetland. So the rest of it should all be pretty easy.
The contract that we would sign, does that have to be fully approved by the time you make the application? Because that's pretty tight.
So we already have sort of an email from Joe saying that if the select board approves everything and if the contract looks okay, then the town would be looking to implement the project. So I think it's just something, you know, something in writing. When we go for the application, it would be something in writing just saying that we're intending to sign this. And the other thing we have done before is the project might get approved pending that contract gets signed. It's pretty flexible because we have the funds right now, and it's actually really hard to find projects that fit the criteria of funding, and this one does. So I feel like people are going to be on it. So it's a committee. It's the committee that works, so you know most of the people on it, and they're pretty flexible and want to make things work. And the grant contract is super, super specific. So the first thing we do is review projects just to make sure they meet the criteria of this grant funding, and if they do, that's when they get passed pretty easily because it's hard to find projects that meet the criteria. But this one reduces quite a bit of phosphorus. It treats stormwater from a big area, and that stormwater would otherwise go directly to the river. So it meets a lot of those, you know, criteria.
One thing to add, and we did discuss this at the last meeting, but it's on the proposed maintenance schedule that's on sheet D22 in the plans. The existing catch basin line that goes up Carnarvon is in pretty rough shape. Once it turns and runs along Park, it's really good, but the line going up Carnarvon definitely has, you know, full sumps, and probably some of the pipes are pretty full. So you know, we would want that to be vac trucked out, and you know, there might require some steam jetting to get some of the pipes reopened, but you know, vac trucked out and flushed before the system is installed. One, that will help, you know, it'll help Carnarvon Street drain better, and two, it'll prevent a bunch of junk that's already in the system from flushing into the infiltration chambers. And we will have the ability to basically close a valve and stop the pipe that goes across Park into this roll separator. So, you know, if that ends up happening, like during construction or after, we can close that if the system is being flushed, so we don't send a bunch of old leaves and sand through it. But I'm sure Hillary can help get funding to support that effort. But the Carnarvon Street system needs to be in full working order before the system's online, the new system's online.
What do you need from us?
Yeah. I guess I'd be interested in knowing if you would approve the project. I mean, I guess I think we're at the place where we need to approve or just stop this project.
My two cents is on the fourth.
I am as well for the next two meetings.
One of my questions I don't think has been totally answered here. I'm gonna I'm the one that brought up the fissure effect of the water going out over the banks.
Yep.
And I know the Dollar General site was definitely mentioned. You say it does flow to the west, southwest. Putting
yes.
extra water into that area, would that create a fissure down in that area at a later date and erode the bank out?
I mean, it's something that we should keep an eye on, but, you know, like the water is going to follow gravity and it's going to follow the direction that it's flowing now. So there, you know, will be more water flowing west, but we now have, with the new design, there's 4 more feet of separation between the water table and the bottom of the practice. So there's a lot more room in the sand that's down there to sort of take on that water and spread it out. And, you know, it's going to go in, you know, all directions, but predominantly it will be going west, southwest. And we consulted with Steve Revelle, who is, you know, Lincoln Applied Geology. He is the state's foremost hydrogeologic expert. And he, you know, was not fully engaged. And, you know, like we didn't do a ton of samples, but his, you know, like after reviewing it, he said that, you know, the updates to the plan, he was comfortable with that, and did like it better than the original plan, which was doing a lot more water, you know, more volume of water and having it be less separation to the water table. So, you know, that's not his official stamp, but he did say that he was comfortable with this design and with how much soil space we had, you know, room between the water table and the practice and the volumes of water that we were talking about infiltrating.
Yeah, the more water, the more washout you have, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, this water, once it's in the water table, it's moving slow. You know, like it's moving very, very slow. And, you know, I mean, I did go behind Dollar General when I was trying to survey in where the water is coming out of the slopes. And, you know, they have a lot of erosion right off the corner of their parking lot, but that's concentrated surface runoff. That's water that's moving really, really fast. That's draining, you know, probably a half acre of rooftop and parking lot all into one spot. And that's a very different kind of erosion than, you know, like if you were having a problem from this system, it would be that the hill, the CP spot on the hill where it gets kind of muddy might be a foot higher up the hill than it has been historically, but there wouldn't be enough water coming out of it to move soil, if that makes sense. Or not the speed of the water coming out to move soil. That's from surface runoff.
Looking for any kind of emotion or something? What do you need for the?
I think that would be good. And then we'll stay in touch. So as we, you know, as things move forward, we'll keep you posted. As we, you know, put out RFPs for like a contractor, if somebody wants to be on the review committee or you have contractors you'd like us to contact, like, you know, it can be very collaborative.
I would suggest that we put it on the agenda for next time, just so it's official.
Didn't we warn it that we were?
We warned that we're having an upgrade. We're having an update. It's not necessarily
okay.
Just to be honest, is 2 weeks going to kill you?
No. Well, let me just make sure I'm going to be here because I think I will on it too.
Oh,
let me check. It's my son's spring break coming up,
and
we're going to
the college. It'll be, you come back with sticker shock.
I'm worried about that. Yes, I was going to leave that night, but I could leave straight from.
Well, you don't have to be here for
oh.
that. We can.
We want the ability for if there's somebody out there who's got some major heartburn, I understand your concern about that. We want them to be able to come in and voice whatever that concern is. But the way I understand what we're talking about here is It's basically a smaller project than we've been talking about for 2 years now. Less disturbance, cheaper project. Our questions have been addressed, and the price is right. My understanding is the price is zero. And even that one right there, I heard there's a possibility that we could get some of the funding. I mean, just saying, we would get some funding to help if we it's to blow out that if we needed it, we still open discussion. So yeah. Again, I'm saying,
watch out for that bus.
Right. Prepare the infrastructure.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. So, so we just so we. Our official.
Would Joe Bartlett, are you available on the 18th?
Well, I should be. Hold on, let me double check, but I should be.
Okay.
And as I check, this whole project, not that it's the town's money, but this whole project costs roughly 6 years of private college for one kid. So there's your framework.
Right. It's a good chunk of money we're getting saved to do this work.
Right.
Yes, I'm available on the 18th.
Great. So we can put that right at the top of the meeting and just, for lack of a better term, it'll be officially. Okay.
And I will likely be remote again that day since this worked out
well.
That's fine. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate your open-mindedness. You know, if there are any issues or anything, I would love to help correct them.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Joe.
Thank you, guys.
Great. Thanks, Joe. Thanks, Hillary.
No, thank you all.
Okay. The next agenda item is amendments to the agenda. Is it?
No, I think.
We got Jason Booth.
Jason Booth.
But yeah, that's kind of funny. But I really don't want to spring that. I want as much visibility as possible. It's not going to run into the problem. Okay. So, more good news on the infrastructure story. Jason, you're up.
Jason, can you hear us?
There you go. I can. Yes. Okay. I can. Sorry. Yep, I'm here.
All right.
Okay, so Jason's here to talk about the water line upgrade down on South Main, and then there's a portion of that project also up on Washington Street. So Jason, you're up.
Yeah, so we bid this project the second time around, the second go around. If you recall, last time we bid, we had one bidder. Belden the first time around, and they were overbid, over budget. So the consideration was to reject bids, pause, and to put the project back out to bid, which we did. We opened bids a little over a week ago, 2 weeks ago on the 22nd. We had two bidders this time around, again, over budget. So at this point, the question is, do we continue forward? Do we pause? Do we look at other options? And in some discussions with Joe, and I think that Joe's had some conversations maybe with about this, in addition to conversations with me about, you know, is there a supplemental bond vote? Possibly. We have paving coming in on the 2026, I believe, is the date at this point. And the priority for that is really the south side of the project, the south side of town, the South Prospect Street, or South Main and Prospect. So I guess the conversation is, you know, how do we proceed forward? Do we proceed forward?
I guess the obvious first question is, and I know the answer already, what's the possibility of this going down if we wait?
Cost-wise, at this point, you know,
this is awful.
Yeah, at this point, probably unlikely. You know, I don't know that anything is getting cheaper right now. It's interesting. I had told Joe about this. We had a similar trajectory on another project further north in the Chittenden County area, where we bid the project on a similar timeline last year. Bids were high. We rebid again for the same project this almost on the same timeline, and we got more contractors and more favorable bids. That was the hope for this. It didn't pan out. I'm not sure that there's going to be a better opportunity moving forward if we rebid this project. We've already tried two times. So I don't see the numbers going down.
So Jason, Glenn Travers, a question. When I look at the estimated project cost, you know, of over $1 million, the potential around, it looks like it's definitely something you have to bond, but is there grant monies that can help us bring, can you talk to that a minute for us? To help?
I can, sure. Yep. Fine. I sure can. So I actually, this afternoon, had a conversation with the Water Investment Division, who's the program that you've been pursuing funding through for this particular project. And we've had an application, the town has had an application into them for this project for over a year at this point, and they still haven't processed it, but they're working on it according to them today. There is an opportunity for subsidy through that program for this project, but the timing of understanding that subsidy is probably hard to say through that program. They've been very behind on things, obviously. But maybe within a month to 2 months before we can understand whether there's grant subsidy to go along with the funding for this project. I did ask today. I am waiting for one more phone call back from a different person at the division that may have some additional information for me. But there is a possibility for grant funding. I just can't say what that is, or, you know, that yes, there is any at this point in time.
And nothing for a low income area or anything like that, which we capitalize on. We got a much better loan one time.
That's right. And so that's what they're running the numbers on, is what they say through the loan application. So through the program, what's available is what's called disadvantaged subsidy. And it goes to communities that have low median household incomes and debt loads and higher user rates. So they're looking at those numbers right now to determine where you would land in that eligibility for disadvantaged subsidy.
Just for the audience, we're 672,000 short.
That's right.
That's real life.
And one other question, because you might look and say, okay, that's a lot of money, which it is, and we're short, but if you say you can't do this, and we talked about probably not going to get cheaper, but then there's the risk, because this is a water main, major water main that goes down. Can you talk to that for a second? That risk type of a doing nothing if you make that decision?
Sure. So there's sort of two parts to that. I think the most critical parts to that, actually, there's two critical parts, and those are both on the south side of the project. So currently you have a 12-inch transmission main from the south water storage tank that serves the town, and that crosses the Adams Street Bridge. There's a small diameter supplemental connection from Prospect to South Main, and then crosses the South Main Bridge, and that's somewhat of a weak link. It's a limiting factor hydraulically. If you don't have that 12-inch line in service, let's say you have to replace that Adam Street bridge, or you remove it or something along those lines, or that 12-inch water line breaks, you don't have a strong enough hydraulic link with that 6-inch water line that goes down Prospect in South Main to adequately feed the town. Well, you don't have a hydraulic link to fill the tank on the south side or then subsequently feed the town through that 6-inch. So there's a redundancy factor that's an important aspect of the project on the south side. The other piece that plays into this is obviously the paving. So V-Trans is coming in to pave. Originally, I think it was supposed to be 24, then they moved it to 27, now it's 26. They're coming in to pave, and they're paving that south end of town. And so the idea all along has been to get this water line in and complete so that you don't have to come back at some point, you know, whether it's near future or whatever the case may be, after the paving is done, and dig up brand new paving to put the water line in. So those, I think, are the most critical aspects of the project being on the south side. On the north side, we looked at some options of whether, and when I say north side of the project, that's up near the McDonald's area and the gas stations, and crossing the road and providing some stronger, larger diameter lines there. The driver up there is potential for utilization of some of that property up there and maybe future development. I know there's been some interest over time up in that area. We did have some discussion about an option about pulling that work out of the project and it to try to save, in an effort to try to save some dollars on the north end of town, on the Washington side, street side. But, you know, there is interest in development. So if you don't do that, is that going to deter development that could be tax-based, tax dollars? So there's some consideration there as well.
Questions, folks?
Well, another one.
I'll be there.
So it sounds like, you know, you're between a rock and a hard place here, but it sounds like we're the shortfall of $672,100, that if we were to choose to move forward, we would need to go out for another bond vote to get the additional monies to do the whole project so that we have the project funded. I just can't start a project without having a fund.
That's correct.
So, and that's knowing if that's the case, we choose to go forward. Do we, timing wise, we have time to go out and do another bond vote, hopefully get, pretty sure we'll have the votes from the south side. What's the alternative? You can have one. But it's do we have timing to get the bond boat out and still get the construction done before the paving?
So I believe Joe may have some more updated information on that, but the answer is yes.
Okay.
Joe, you had spoken with bond counsel earlier today, correct?
Correct. Yeah. So I talked with bond counsel to see how fast we could get this done if the board chose to do it. And we can put this on, we can bring this up at the town meeting in March 4th, 3rd. Yeah, it's bond notice is only, I think he said, 2 weeks. So we have to notice three times in a paper, in one of our papers, and then we can talk about it on Monday the 3rd, and then the town can vote on the 4th. This gives us the opportunity, I mean, assuming the board moves forward tonight with approving it, this gives us time to then, if the town approves it, we can review the low bid and then award that contract. I did talk to B-Trans into this summer construction season of 2026 is when they're out.
So, and can I
go ahead?
Okay. Sure. Sounds like we can do the necessary notice period, talk at the meeting before the 4th to explain why, and have this additional money show up on the ballot. If the voters say no, I'm looking at this quote that we have here. My question is how is that quote still good for the time it's going to take us to get our ducks in a row?
So the bid has a 60-day bid valid period from the day of the bid opening. So that means that the contractor has the option to renegotiate after 60 days from the bid opening. So that puts us at end of March. So there's time built in to that. We could also have a conversation with Markowski, who's the apparent low bidder, to see if they might be able to hold their bid for a little bit longer if there was more time that was needed. So we can have those conversations. But okay, there is a 60-day window for when the bid is valid.
The reason I asked the question, in a perfect world, all the notices and everything, and it gets voted on. I haven't lived in a perfect world in quite a while. So I was just wondering what
nobody
the
rest, has.
The timing would be. But it sounds like that the bid is good, so even if something fell off, we'd have to do a special vote before the end of March. Okay, you answered all my questions.
I think we got to do it. But a question, if we put this in voters and it passes, if there is grant money available, we may not have to use all this bond.
That's right.
Am I thinking correctly?
That's correct.
You are thinking correctly. And we're going to continue to have those conversations and keep on top of that here. Hopefully we get some answers before you have your bond informational hearing the day before town meeting and voting. But yes, you're absolutely correct that there could be additional subsidy that reduces the overall cost of the project. I don't have that information. Drinking Water doesn't have that information. The division doesn't have that information yet.
My thoughts are, we're foolish if we don't do it somehow, some way, because of all the things that you pointed out. And north side of town, we want tax base, we want development, maybe. We got to have infrastructure to pay for this stuff. So it's a no-brainer. I'm for it.
Yeah, I think it's important to remind residents too of what happened on Airport Road not too long ago. That was very difficult for us as a town, even though we all rallied together.
Luckily, with that being in the middle of town,
after that incident, when we were talking about the downtown project, some of the folks that were giving me feedback were commenting and saying, "I'd rather spend our money redoing water lines and other infrastructure similar." There's our opportunity to do
that. I would definitely rather see that myself.
I'm good with it. Of course, I have the same reservation I had about Hillary's project, but I can see a little more urgency.
So you're looking for a motion to accept the Markowski bid? Okay.
This is a new bond.
Yep. So if the board is interested in this, the board will have to accept the resolution certificate. This should be adopted by the board tonight. It resolves that the project is necessary and that there are not sufficient funds in the town to pay for this project, and that the bar of the question should be put to the voters. So if the board would like a motion to sign the resolution certificate and then sign it.
I'll make a motion to sign the resolution certificate for the water project.
Additional bond.
The additional monies needed.
Second.
Make that sound pretty good.
What he said.
Yeah, what he said.
I'll listen to Peg TV and put it all together.
Everybody understand what we're doing?
Who seconded?
The board doesn't sign this. They need to just approve it.
Mm-hmm. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Okay.
And we got one more. This is the warning for this same project. The board has to approve the warning to be put on the ballot.
Will this be supplemental as a supplemental page in the town plan?
It will be. This will be a supplemental question, and it will look like
that. Okay, and it'll be in the town report.
We still have the reports. Yes, I can stick it in the town report.
At least it's a page of that.
Yes, that's easy enough.
I'll make a motion to put the supplemental warning for the bond vote for the $675,000.
Second.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed?
You want to say anything on this one?
Yes, the board and the clerk.
So
right.
It's to include the bond in the warning.
It'll be a bond.
This is the bond.
This is the bond warning.
This is the
bond. I'll pass you on this.
So it's not going to be included in the town meeting.
It is going to be in the report. We're going to talk about it at town meeting.
I'll have to talk to you. I don't know what warning we're doing.
Anything else on that?
That's all I have on
that. Thank you,
Jason. Thank you.
Thank you. So regarding, just real quick, regarding Markowski's bid, we'll go through a bid formal bid analysis and have that documentation together separately, which you folks will see as we get closer. And I'll coordinate that with Joe. But we think we kind of want to get through this process first. But there will be a separate discussion about concurrence to award that project to Markowski later, at a later date.
Very good.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you all.
Good evening. Moving, powering right through this. Amendments to the agenda.
Those are none for me tonight.
Anybody else? Good. 5 minutes for public comments.
Hello, my name's John Billitz. I am a resident of Berry.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm jumping all over the place here, John. Could you wait? Yep. We got to do approval of minutes. I'm dyslexic.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes from January 21st. Is ready?
Second.
I'll second that.
Any additions, deletions, corrections? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. We'll try this again. 5 minutes for public comment. Jonathan?
All right, perfect. Again, my name is Jonathan Billowitz. I'm a resident here in Fairhaven. As you all are aware, or you all should be aware, I am in the town of Fairhaven. As you know, your waiver of summons was due on the 8th. The town of Fairhaven has answered accordingly. I'm not sure if you paid attention to who is actually being sued in that complaint and lawsuit. Mr. Gunter, Mr. Humphreys, and Tyler Duhl are also being sued in their personal capacities. I have yet to receive their waiver of summons, and their answer to the complaint is due this coming night. I hope to hear from either Mr. Gunter's, Mr. Humphreys, or Mr. Duhl's attorney, or if they wish to enter a notice of appearance pro se, which means they represent themselves in their own personal capacity. But as you all know, Town of Fairhaven cannot expend public funds to represent certain entities in their private capacity.
Thank you for your comment.
That's it. Thank you. Anyone else? We're going to move on.
Wait.
I'm sorry.
Last Tuesday, I spent an hour of my time cleaning trash up along the gate at the dump. Considering that there's no more cash being used at the dump, I think that it's not too far to say that one of the employees that work the dump should every morning when the dump is operational clean the side of the entrance at the dump, and the dump should not look like a dump. That's it for now. Thank you.
Thanks
for coming.
Glenn Heisman, I'm just going to add that it's not a dump, it's a transfer station, so it shouldn't look like a dump. It shouldn't look like a dump.
Thank you.
Thank you for making it not look like a dump.
Yes, thank you.
Anyone else? All right. Thanks, guys. Department head.
I've got a couple things. In the last 2 weeks, we had 4 arrests. One for simple assault, one for cruelty to a child, one wanted person, and one attempting to elude. We wrote 60 traffic tickets, 20 written warnings, 5 parking violations, and 2 car crashes, and 17 sets of fingerprints, and 1 overweight permit. They're starting to flow in now. I give you a highlight of our activity, which is point out is part-time officer Rob Burgee starting his 8th year here. We had 148 calls for service in the last 2 weeks, and we're at 352. The other thing is, and Bob will appreciate it, I perusing the internet, and I found a 2021 Ford Explorer police vehicle with 18,000 miles on it for $19,900, and I'm just throwing it out there. You know, we get ahead of ourselves. I did the math. We have about $35,000 in reserve funds, and the guidance is on the agenda, so I'm just, again, happy to see it, so I just throw it out there. We did sell a Durango at auctions for $3,000. We paid $6,000 or $7,000 for that, so we did really well having put 80 or 90,000 miles on it. But so we have about 35,000 right now, plus the 3,000 would put us at 38. If we minus this 19,900, put us at 15. With the upcoming reserve, we'd have 20,000 to build towards the next car. So my thought was, if you guys were interested, and you can tell me no, we're fine. I was just trying to maybe buy down. We haven't bought a new car since 17, and the last Explorer we bought, it was in 22. So we're about 3 years out. If for some reason you guys are interested, we would recycle out some old cars with a new one and try to stay ahead of the curve. So I was just putting it out there. If something you guys wanted to entertain or look at, you don't need to make a decision. I know it's not on the agenda item. So I just wanted to put it out there that I was doing the Wheeland deal and we'll see what was out there. Like I always do, just trying to prepare for upgrade.
How much time you need? I mean,
I didn't even
want today.
It could be, and we've been that way before. I know that one time, when we went to Chicago and Buffy and Powell, there was one with 6,000 miles on it, but just the way cycles work, we ended up one with 20, but we still have that car, and that car is decent. It's just, I'm just doing the math out there, so something to think about. Thank you. That's all I have.
Thank you.
Thank you.
In the board's packets, we should have had colorful chart, looks like something like that, and then a less colorful chart that looks like that. This is, I sat down with Nate, that's your updated GPW schedule, some of the larger projects that they're planning for next year, as well as the capital budget. That's just for your information. Start with an update from the rec director. He planned and advertised for Canada's Day, which is Saturday, this coming Saturday, at the library, February 8th at 1 p.m. So if you're running for office or what? My 5 minutes are up.
5 minutes are up.
If you're running for office or want to hear those who are running for office talk about why they're interested, that's a good place to be. We are recording it this year, and Peg TV will broadcast after. Let's see what else we got. An interesting fundraiser. Restart fundraiser with the Vermont Lake Monsters, which we received 50% of ticket sales for the July 31st Sales for July 31st was Fair Haven Little League. So that money goes right to our baseball program. He's doing a good job getting our camp counselors up and running. We try to get our counselors fingerprinted early every year so that way they're ready to be on site and work with the kids. So he's doing a good job there. Baseball and softball registration is live. So if you're interested in signing your children up for that, you can go to the rec website and you can sign up there. And Reese is also planning the Memorial Day Parade, and he's working with Sean Galvin on that. So things are chugging right along with rec. From my desk, we've seen the revolving loan payments start coming in. We got a grant back in 2019, and we've loaned that money out, and it was paid back, and now we loaned it out again, and now it's being paid back. It helped our local businesses start a business or, you know, just keep going. We had three power poles, if you're interested. Three power poles were placed out in front of Town Hall. I had a resident say, he's like, that one looks a little shoddy. GMP came out and said, yeah, three of them are. So they replaced them up front. We are going to have a rabies clinic this year, April 5th, between 1 and 3 p.m. We're going to do it across the street in the park, though, so that way people aren't coming across from parking, crossing the street, coming here. So tents will be set up. The town clerk is letting me know what she needs in terms of volunteers. We want to thank the crew for doing a good job cleaning up the sidewalks and the streets these last couple of days. That snow has just kind of been persistent. And I wanted to let folks know that I got a couple of calls saying, you know, why is the park not plowed, or why is this street not plowed, or that sidewalk not plowed? Our goal is to keep the roads open, but also to get the routes to school open. So you'll see around the schools are plowed out, and then the paths too, after the snow abates, after the storm abates, then we'll go back and get the we'll get the park. So, and then the parking lot on the south side. So they get it, it just, it might take time. We did release the reassessment. I don't know if I told you. Said this last time or not, but the townwide reassessment, the RFP was released. We'll be getting, I have some interest in the project. We're doing trainings for my dump staff on the 12th of this month. So, you know, we've got to keep stuff in mind. And we are moving some staff around so that way we can improve service down there. This is something we started last week. We see that we could improve down there, and I agree with you. So you'll see improvements.
Transfers.
Yes, the transfer station. And last thing, it's just a small update. We talked about a housing authority two meetings ago, maybe. I still have the questions, and I'm developing answers for the board. I don't have anything to share yet, but that's coming as well. That is what I have for you, gentlemen.
Yep. Okay. Thanks. The purchase agreement for Skyline is just placeholder. So, there's
no that language is with VCDP. They're going to give us an opinion on some language to make the property owner a little bit more happy.
Okay.
Happier.
Well, somebody needs to happen. Fuel bids?
Yes, fuel bids. We got two bids. Get my cheat sheet out. We got two bids. Local Fuel, they couldn't give us a fixed rate. They said they'd be happy to give us 14 cents over racks, but that doesn't lock us in at anything. So if some of the tariffs come through and Canadian oil goes up, we'd be on the hook for that. Champlain Valley did give us a fixed rate at $2.70 per gallon. Currently, we were paying $3 a gallon, so that cost actually goes down a little bit.
How long is that for?
It's for the year, right?
Yeah, it's for you. Let me give you the exact date here. Bear with me as I open it up. Municipal billing began January 8th through the end of June. So the cold season.
The end of the fiscal year.
Which pleasure.
I say we got to go with the Champlain Fuels.
You make that in form of a motion.
I make a motion to go with Champlain Fuels for
holy crap
$2.70 a gallon.
I'll second that.
Questions, comments?
Do we know what the current rack price is for fuel?
I don't know.
Well, it's more than what I'm looking at right here. I got it maybe 3 weeks ago.
They hijacked a tanker or something.
Well over $3.
Everybody understand what we're doing? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Don't blame local for it. Certificate of highway mileage.
Yep, this is our annual cert of highway mileage that the state requires us to send in. There is a small change, 0.03 miles were removed by the state. They're saying the very end of Benson Road is not up to their standard, which I think is private anyway.
Benson, back there. Benson Lane?
Benson Lane. So.
So I'm wondering where that's 0.3 mile. That's pretty much Benson Lane, I would think.
It was the very end, very back side of it.
There's the Y's back there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So there's a left and a right. And I think the left side doesn't have a full cul-de-sac like the right side does.
Okay. Scary. Yeah, I think that is private road. And that's land trust right here.
The trailer park back there. So, and as an aside to that, I was trying to work with them to get Munger Road put back on. I sent them all the documents, and I got an email today saying, well, I don't know if that really works. So I'm still trying, guys. I promise. This has been going on since like 1960.
It would just be a trail for a class 4.
Class 4.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right now they don't have it at all. So
they don't like up in Montpelier. They seem to resist admitting they made a mistake and fixing a mistake after you give them all the information.
There's paperwork to make changes.
And I'm just going, wow.
So I sent them what we found in the files upstairs, and this document was from 1918. It was in the records, land record, that lays out the road. So it's like,
it should not take 3 years to fix.
I'm still grinding away.
So I'll make a motion to, looking for a motion to sign the certificate of highway mileage for year ending February 10, 2025.
Second. Do you have a full number of the amount of mileage? How would you put that in the motion? Is there?
Yes, we have a total of 36.405 miles.
Okay, with your second?
Still second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay. Good. All right. Liquor licenses.
There's only the one.
There's one. There's the rest of it. So this time I did it a little different. I did it by company as opposed to type of license. I thought it might be a little easier to do them all at once for one company instead of trying to one off each one. So yeah.
So all right, I make a motion to approve a second class liquor license and a tobacco license to DG Retail, DBA Dollar General.
Second?
I'll second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion to approve a second class liquor license, a tobacco license, and a tobacco endorsement to Stewart Shops Corporation.
I'll second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Or opposed? You have the Dollar General coming back at any time?
Motion to approve a second-class liquor license and a tobacco license to Walgreens Eastern Company, Inc.
I'll second that.
All those in favor?
That's it.
There will be more. Engine repair for the chipper.
Yeah, so this is we got a great deal on this chipper a couple of years ago. And it was used when we got it, but you know, it's had kind of a knock since we bought it, and the thing finally has given up. It needs the engine rebuilt. We bought it for $5,000 5 years ago. The cost for a new chipper, and I'm just reading from the cheat sheet. The new cost for a new chipper is $100,000, something this size, which is a big chipper. I think I know one of the cylinders was having a problem, which was making it knock. The cost to rebuild the engine is $8,688.23. We're asking the board to allow us to use that much money, $8,688.23, from the Public Works Reserve Fund. There's currently more than $53,000 in that account.
You and your group are recommending, right?
We are.
Okay. I'll make motion that we spend not to exceed $8,688.23 to repair the chipper from the Public Works Reserve account.
Second.
Questions, comments?
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
An ethics liaison appointment.
Yeah, this is the ethics training we're supposed to take now, which I did take mine. But the state wants a liaison from our town. I did ask the town clerk if she would be the liaison, and she said she would be happy to be that. I thought as an elected official, it might be, you know, because people come and go, so you never know who's going to be around. But yeah.
I'll make a motion to have Danny Roberts be our ethics liaison.
Second.
Questions, comments? All those in favor?
Aye. Excuse me.
Okay, canceling the March 4th meeting.
Yeah, that's election day. We canceled it last year, so I thought I'd ask if we wanted to do that again.
I think so. Right. When will you meet again? The next Tuesday or the regular
schedule? I think we just go to the regular schedule.
Just sort of like some.
I'll make a motion that we cancel the March 4th scheduled select board meeting due to being election day. It will be tied up.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
I'm sorry. Parking lot, anything going on there? I can tell you that we have a meeting with Logan Solomon, Rutland Regional, tomorrow, the Planning Commission, talk subdivision rules and comments from the town manager and from Glenn and some from the Planning Commission. Try to get that squared away so we can be ready for an application in March. Something we'll put in front of you guys in March. I think we're pretty close. the big deal is we have an organization that's willing to take on the downtown group to be a big downtown group. That's good. We're quite a ways along in the subdivision goals. If you haven't read it, you could, essentially what they do is they make develop. It makes it easy for developers. They know what they got to do. It's there. It's black and white. There's no. You're not going to find something out to later in the project. In the rules, they can if they can stay within the rules, they can build. So it'll be good for somebody wanted to make a large developer in town, housing development, particularly. So we're moving along. That's good so far.
Good.
Anything else? Okay. Roundtable.
I don't have anything really, except I think we ought to do this soon.
That was kind of makes sense.
I think so, yeah.
He hasn't steered us wrong yet.
I think we should give this gentleman permission to do this.
You're not asking for money. You have the money in reserve account, so you're not asking for no new money.
We have to authorize.
Right. So you're saying, hey, look, we got it there, got a great deal. Just need you to say, go get them.
If that went out, then you got the $18,000, and then whatever the reserve amount is you put in, plus the sale of whichever car we got rid of, we go back in there.
Okay.
So that would be nice to be around the 22 to 25 range again. So the following year, we're back in that 30 to 35 range.
But I mean, at this point, we could go consensus and then you come back on the 18th. You can tell somebody we'll pay for it on the 18th if that works.
Yeah, if they'll do that.
Yeah.
We bought three from them. Joe actually bought one from them too. It's the same, same place. Okay. So they might do something. I haven't looked at it sight unseen.
It's not off the charge of car, I understand.
Yeah. Well, there's no meeting on the 18th. Oh, 18th of March.
18th
of February.
Oh, all right, yeah, I'm ahead of myself, sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I was going to say the same thing, but I did want to draw attention to the draft of our You Are Here sign developed. Who was the
Ethan Pippin from Rutland Regional Planning Commission is helping at Gamera.
So this is a project that the EDC.
What's his name again?
Ethan Pippin, P-I-P-A-N.
Yeah. EDC's commissioned Ethan to develop this sign. Right now we're trying to figure out if that's the size of sign that we would like, how it's going to be placed in town, on what materials, and if we've got location down pretty well.
And that's not the finished product. I mean, this is a real rough draft. We're putting more businesses there and inns and everything else for people to find.
I think the proposed site right now is south side of the park. So that's something we can look forward to in the future, and the draft will continue to develop as soon as we give the okay on size and material.
And it goes hand in hand with the communication bulletin board that we will be putting up when the weather gets better. For here's some things like the EDC newsletter and other things that are going on will be in one. We're looking at this probably going to be in a separate thing, but down in the general area there. And I see that Laura Pedroni did a nice job of putting together a flyer for us here. Just hold that thing up. But it has all your businesses. It has a little map like that too. Yeah, again, it's the Economic Development Downtown Partnership Group that is going to try to help market our businesses and everything. These are now going out to different places, so good stuff.
Print run of 1,600 are out there, right?
You'll find these in a rough area along the state highways.
As well. Well,
nice job.
Well,
she did.
She did a great job.
Yeah.
I jumped on it. It's so good.
So are we prepared to videotape the town meeting?
Videotape the town meeting?
Yeah, that's. Oh, you were. Oh, you were.
The new rules.
New rules. It has to be videotaped.
Videotaped?
Yeah.
I'll find out about it.
Facebook Live. Talk to Seal.
Yeah, I'll talk to Seal.
Did you say that's required by the state?
Yes.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, it's a lot of non-funded mandates still coming along.
I don't know what small towns do.
A couple of things from the Legion meeting, which was what I was doing yesterday. They are prepared to buy a gazebo it's going to be around $5,500 to $6,000 that they're putting in. They would like the town to put some sort of a stone base in that it could be as you face the Veterans Memorial, it would be to the right of that. So there may be some hedge trimming that needs to be done. It would be covered enough so that people are safe, and there would be some electrical work in there so you could plug in speakers and microphones and that kind of thing. So they need permission from us to go forward, or at least that we're in favor of the idea. So.
And what is the idea?
Put a speaker's gazebo at the Veterans Memorial. We don't have to do anything official tonight except say that there's a consensus one way or the other. So
in plain words, instead of the bandstand that they temporarily put up every year for Memorial Day, there'll be a permanent gazebo there. I think it'd be a great idea myself. Good place to sit.
We've been talking about maybe even putting, instead of having the speakers at Crossroad, having the speakers as an integral part of the gazebo, so it's going, you know, the sound is going towards the crowd rather. Right, but the final sign is not as important as now as having consensus of what they like.
I like the idea. My only question would be, how does that impact visibility if I'm going from North Park Place onto Main Street?
Yeah, well, I think it'd be set back enough. You may have to, if you look down there at the park, there's a big, big bush there. And that would probably have to be cut back a little bit. I think that would alleviate that concern.
Okay, I just think about cars that don't really slow down too much.
So if you look at it, they want it to go left.
Be on the left side.
Left
side.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so it wouldn't really affect any site traffic.
But it would be back. It would be set back enough, so it'd be off the sidewalk and back enough so that it's
My only question would be, should this be warned so that I understand that the Legion would like permission from us. My comfort level as a member of the select board, though, saying, okay, how many other people, if we didn't have it as an item so someone could come in and say, you know, I'm concerned about visibility or whatever. And then it's just better on the 18th, we put it on our agenda.
That's fine.
And then we're just, we'll move it forward still. Yeah, but I'm just saying, maybe we should warn it so that
they're not going to do anything until.
I mean, you might have, and I know it's not the case, but you might have some people that are using that that will come and say, "Wait a minute."
That's where I was going to put the can.
That's where I wanted the can.
Think about that.
Yeah, there's a better shot at my house on Dutton Avenue.
Yeah,
you could move that can in an inch.
I wouldn't try. But no, that's my only concern. I like to see it on the agenda so that anyone who wants to can weigh in. Then we could do it.
That's fine. But
yeah.
And the other thing that we were talking about last night too is the pulley and the line on the flagpole needs to be replaced.
Ooh.
It was guesstimated that I think they thought that the castle and ladder truck would get there without any trouble. But
how did we get that? We just painted that when Aaron was here.
The castle and fire truck won't reach up that high.
The cat will.
It will.
Yeah, that's what there is.
Either
that or I think Doran's had a crane.
Had one of those little lifts they use for painting the peaks of houses and stuff.
Yeah.
They don't have
something. That's not high enough.
It doesn't get you there.
There probably is one someplace, but if Castle would like some practice. Somewhere.
With their new ladder truck?
Yeah. They'd probably like to do that. So
okay.
So that would be, they need a new pulley and a new line. The line is just long enough. Somebody underestimated it when they put it up the last time, and it is to make that work.
So you said the pulley on the flagpole. Yes. That's what you said. Okay.
And I'm sure you've heard this a million times, but Scotch Hill needs some work.
Yes, yeah, it does.
And it's probably getting as much traffic this time of year with ice fishermen as it is in the summertime.
Yeah.
So it's a little dicey when you, especially coming down the hill by mortuaries. You've got to be in the middle of the road. And that's not a good place to be. You have to make a
decision. I've been going the other way.
Yeah. Well, it's really true. That's it. Financials.
Okay, I'll make a motion to pay the payroll.
Wait a minute. Got it.
Yeah, I'm trying to slide it by fast.
For $38,770.80.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Make a motion to pay the warrant $74,219.28.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. And the checkbook, we have $1,295,298.32. Gotta be a school payment coming in.
Yeah. Second.
Oh.
It's been that kind of day.
Good, don't you?
You can risk second the fact that we got over our million.
You can risk your abject horror.
we have a
executive session.
If the executive session is the reviews, I'm not prepared.
That's all I have. I can talk to Chad about scheduling for the union. Not anything.
I had a question.
Personnel. I'll make a motion and we go into executive session for personnel under 1 DSA 313A1.
Can we talk legal too?
We'll talk legal. Yeah, we'll talk legal.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
Sorry.
Okay.
We've come out of executive session with no decision made.
Make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Let's go home.
We're good. Gentlemen, 8:45.
Nice.
Excellent job. We got it.